Last week we spoke focused, and especially actually in the first year, there was a very strong emphasis on the idea of a bais neman b'Yisrael, meaning that emunah is the core of the relationship between a husband and wife, not just in the shurim which we described in the dating shurim, that it's the emunah and the hamshacha which brings them together, but the emunah continues to be the glue which binds them together throughout the relationship. As the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, emunah means dveikus, and he's referring to the relationship between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the same thing is equally true between a husband and a wife, that the emunah which they have to each other, which means the dedication, which means the faithfulness, the commitment, the sense that you are the one in my world and I'm the one in your world, that's the key of what the pasuk says, v'davak b'ishtai. With the emunah is the dveikus. And that emunah, as they stand under the chuppah, is the glue which binds them at that moment and throughout the rest of their lives. Which is why when he's mekadosh her, the inyan of erusin is the inyan of v'rastich li b'emunah. That the erusin is totally in the emunah which they have zeb zeh. So I want to share just a few more insights onto this, and this may come up again because it's mamash the yisoid ha-yisoidis when it comes to relationships. But before we do so, I just want to share just a few ha'aras in terms of the importance of Shalom Bayis. Actually, on second thought, let's just finish this inyan of emunah. Because it will segue into what really we're going to discuss in Emet Hashem, which also revolves around this inyan of emunah, but in a different way. We would be remiss if we didn't quote the Chazal, which many of the Sfar Makdoshim speak about. Mamish, many, many. That which the Gemara says, the Ami B'Ma'arava, that they said in Eretz Yisrael, that they would ask a chasan after his chasana, they would say, matzah o motzah. Right? Matzah isha matzah tov. Were you a matzah? Did you find good? Or is the wife bechlal that which it says, motzah ani marmi mavis esa isha? So the question is obvious. How can you ask a chasan this question first day after his marriage? The teretz, which is commonly given by tzaddikim, and shared very often at Shavuot Brachos, not that I necessarily feel that it's the right thing to say in the presence of many people. I think it's a davar pnimi. That may not be the nicest thing to address directly to a chasan and kala. But the vort is a very strong vort as it is. The vort is that it's a perspective in life. Matzah means that I have found in the past tense. Whereas motza means I'm in the process of finding. And it's a Musa Haskel that if a person is a matzah, that he's margish, that he has found, that this is his, and he's not interested in looking and still searching for somebody else. And that's called matzah tov. Whereas if a person is motza, that if he's always in the mode of finding, then that is continuous searching and not feeling content with what he has. That's Marmi Mavis. Part of this, as I quoted in the name of a sefer called Aleph HaKsav, it brings up the Nekuda which we spoke about before, and that Matzah versus Motza means Matzah is the ability to believe in the fact that you found your Zivuk. And while we're dating, discussing the hashkafas of dating, one of the very central topics about that discussion is, what does it mean a zivug? To find my zivug, a zivug rishon, a zivug sheni, the possibility of passing up on a zivug. And I'm sure there's a place in the mind of every chasen and kala throughout the course of their marriage, whether it's something which is constant or comes up in tough times. A person can say to himself, maybe I didn't marry the right one. Maybe this isn't my zivug. That's a tremendous yitzhahara, that machshava. That machshava is maybe I didn't find my zivug. That's called the moitzani marmi mavas. It's not just a perspective. It's that a person has to live with the emunah that when he's with his zivug, when he finds his wife, or when she finds her husband, that it's matzah, that I found my zivug. And if a person will say, maybe not, but the truth is that this is a very pinyistic and akuda, which we really don't have the time to elaborate on fully. But every chassan and kala should be aware that there's no such thing as not finding your zivug. And that is because even, let's say, if a person found somebody who was not the ultimate one, let's say we speak in terms of zivug rishon, zivug sheni, zivug rishon maybe refers to the one as the one which is destined for you, whereas zivug sheni, the Gemara says, is kafi myself, according to his actions, basher husham, like he is there now. If we can even call that a bidyevid, probably not. So even if a person would say to himself, maybe I didn't end up with the one which was for me, it is not beyond the Kodesh Baruch Hu's capabilities that whoever you are with should be your zivug. Because zivug is much more than just a guf, much more than just a name. Zivug is a neshama. For example, Mamash taking from a place very, very rachak, but let's speak about the inyan of Machias HaMalek. Who is a Malek? Who's not a Malek? Is a Malek a nation? Whether the person understands Pimis HaTorah, a Malek is not a nation. A Malek is a neshama. A Malek is scattered all over the world. He who hates the Jew, that's called a Malek. Now, he can be in Sudan. He could be an Egyptian. He could be an American. He could be a Muslim. He could be a Christian. He can live in New Zealand. It's not a nation. Amalek is zelu umazet to Klai Yisrael. If just like Klai Yisrael is not defined by physical nationality, neither is Amalek. That's what it means to be zelu umazet of Klai Yisrael. That there's called the spirit of Amalek. And if a person who hates a Jew enough and he's given that spirit of Amalek, that's where we can't find out who they are. You need to be a Baal Ruch HaKodesh to know who's an Amaleki. Or you have to be so sure from the Simanim, if you're a Talmud Chacham, who an Amaleki is, what are the signs of a Amaleki, then you know. But it's the spirit that even if a person is walking one day and he's not an Amaleki, could be tomorrow he will be an Amaleki. He maybe do something which will have him be Zoiche, quote unquote, to be an Amaleki. It's like one day a Jew is a Jew, and the day before that he was a guy. Something changed. Yeah, he went to the mikveh, he's Makabal HaMitzvah, he had a Bismillah. And that reality is certainly true when it comes to zivugin, that if a person ends up marrying this woman, or she marries this guy, and even though he looks like this, and he talks like this, there's nothing to say that this is it. Maybe my zivug is roaming around the world. It's called the neshama of your zivug. And a person can be zayichet to the neshama of zivug at any time. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, Esel, eselo ezer kenegdo, im zacha ezer. Im loy zacha kenegdo. What does it mean, im zacha ezer? Im zacha means that if a person is zaycha, that he has the schus that he should find his zivug, then she's an ezer. And if she's an ezer, that means he's a zivug. And that can vary. There could be at times where he feels that his spouse is an ezer, and times where not. It doesn't mean to say that he's losing his zivug and she's coming back, but that's kind of what it's like. But it depends on him, which is a very important hashkafa, which is not for now. But a person can be zayich at times and also not be zayich at times. And this is a very important nekuda, because this is a very big yitzhahara which comes up many times throughout the relationship, that if a person is in a tight spot in the relationship and he says, you know, maybe this is not my zivug, maybe I should try again. That machshava to want to separate from the relationship is pogim in the emunah, and at the core of the relationship, to the point where even if he doesn't say anything to her, she says nothing to him. The fact that he's rocking, somebody is rocking, the makor, the shayrish of the amun in the relationship, that will cause the other spouse in the relationship to not have that emunah. And that can be the Pesach, which can send the entire relationship off course. So just like Emunah is the shorish of the Avodas Hashem that a Jew has, that his tefillah, that his Torah, that his chesed, that the mitzvahs which he does, that they're only as strong as his Emunah is, because the Emunah is the foundation of everything. So too, in the relationship between husband and wife, they can spend all the time in the world together, they can dine, they can go out, they can get babysitters every single night. But if at the core of the relationship the Emunah is not strong, then all the time spent is really not filling their tanks. It's really not doing what it needs to do, all that time spent together. It needs to be an avoda where the Emunah is strong with each other and constantly look to be machazik and Emunah with each other. The relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is referred to many times in Chazal as that of a Yona. The Chazal tell us that a Yona leishafke zivug la'am in the Zayas Lashonis. Chazal use other Lashonos that a Yona will never leave his zivug. But once the Yona finds his zivug, he never leaves it. And the reason why this is the relationship which was described between a husband and wife, that it's an nimshal to a Yona. Ke'ene Yona, like the eyes of the Yona, is because it needs to be clear to the husband and wife that they're dedicated to each other forever and ever. That feeling of Erastich Li V'Emunah. Just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he destroyed the world with a marble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he regretted Nichamti Ki Asisim, and he said, I'm going to start anew. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Yeshua to Noach with a Yona. And the reason why he sent the Yona, Chazal give one explanation, that's why it was sent with the Yona. But on our level, from our angle, from our discussion, the reason why Yona was sent is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling Noach, I'm neman to my world. That I created this world, and I'm forever neman to this world. That I created this, I invested myself in this, I've created a relationship with this Adam, and I'm never going to forsake this Adam. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was in it forever. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael. And although it didn't seem at the time, nobody could see yet that there was a reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu was so invested in this world. Because nobody yet saw what it means in Ben Yisrael. Nobody yet was able to see what it means in Adam. There was a glimpse of this Adam by creation of the world when they saw what it means to be an Adam. Adam ala Elyon. They wanted to say Kaddish Kaddish to this Adam. But yet that Adam disappeared. And then there was a Noach, and Noach did not resemble that Adam. And nobody in the world resembled that Adam. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I am forever loyal to the creation of this Adam, which is what will be called Yisrael. As the Gemara says, Atim Kriyim Adam, Ve'ein Umas Oilim Kriyim Adam, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is forever Neman to this Adam, which is the Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Yona represents. And that's the Yona of every relationship. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu is forever faithful to Klal Yisrael. And that's why on Yom Kippur, we read in the Haftarah, we read about Yona, where there was tremendous dedication that Yona had to Klal Yisrael. If you understand the story of what was taking place, why Yona refused to give a nevuah, it was for the sake of Klal Yisrael. He put his life at risk and he wished to die in order to be pogim the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. And we read that on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the day of the Jewish calendar in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever is mekayim his promise to the world that he'll never forsake it. If there wouldn't be Yom Kippur every single year, the world will self-destruct based on its avonos. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave a Yom Kippur into the world, is maftiach that the world will be neskaim, and that his havtacha and his emunah to Klal Yisrael to the world will forever be. And that's why Yom Kippur is the bechina of a chasana. Because Yom Kippur means the dedication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael, that he has to his zivug. And that's what, when the chasana and kala stand underneath the chuppah and they say, Hari amekudeshes li, v'rastich li b'emunah, it's that dedication which they have to each other. It's the bechina of Yom Kippur, that forgiveness. That vitor, which hopefully we'll speak about, the midah of atranos, there's many details to speak about, but really, in order to get to those details, we have to be miyaseh the yesodos, and the yesodos is this nekuda of Yom Kippur, of the emunah zelazah, and mikoyach that emunah that we have with our spouses, zeh bezeh, is what gives them the strength to be able to overcome all challenges in life, so that it doesn't reach, those challenges don't reach the foundation of their marriage. And there's many things which come up in life which puts tremendous stresses on relationships. Parnassah is a very big one. How many relationships have been destroyed because of Parnassah? Or because of children? Different hashkafas about children, different hashkafas in life. But the point is that if when the emunah is so strong, it creates a barrier, it creates a choma around that yisod, which is why the yisod always has to be underground. There has to be a lot of privacy in the relationship. And these things, this emunah between husband and wife has to be very, very low-key. Because the second that it's nizgala, it could be nifkan. Nobody needs to know the degree and the strength of the emunah that a husband has with his wife. That's something which is mamish private. Not to be revealed. And the second that it becomes open, and this is one of the reasons why we don't have open displays of affection. One thing is just because it's not tznius. But for another deeper reason is because that every act, every physical act especially, is supposed to be a dedication, and an act of dedication, and mesiras nefesh, and display of mesiras nefesh one to the other. And that's not something which is to be revealed. We don't have to go very far to understand that. Chazal tell us that because Adam and Chava had open displays of affection, the Nachash saw that, he became jealous. And that was the Pesach which destroyed the relationship. There's another angle when it comes to emunah and the relationship. And this is especially true about the relationship between a husband to his wife. Is that when we speak about emunah between spouses, there's another type of an emunah, which is the emunah in oneself. And the emunah in oneself. One of the things which we struggle with is emunah in who we are. And we've spoken about this many a time in the shiurim with Rav Kook, how much emphasis he has always placed on that which a Jew needs to know, that he's a neshama, which Hasidus places on this inyan. For a person to believe in himself and his own self-worth. When it comes to relationships, the relationship especially between husband and wife is a tremendous machaya for a spouse to know how much they need to believe in themselves. Especially a husband. It's almost very difficult for a husband to believe how precious he is to his wife. But the truth is that he's literally the center of her world. And that's why it's not a coincidence that when the chasan comes to the chuppah, and we invite the Kala to come underneath, that she literally circles him 7 times. This is supposed to be a message to the Chassan. There's many messages there. But one of these messages that it is to the Chassan at that time is that you need to know that you are the center of her world. That even though she's a queen right now, and everybody's looking at her, she's the star of the show. The Chassan needs to know that at the epicenter of everything which this is all about is that it's about him. One of the struggles that husbands have in marriage is that they struggle to believe how I can be so important to somebody. Me? You know, only I know what I do, but if you knew what I do, then you wouldn't be so impressed. I wouldn't be so important to you. And because we don't have the emun in ourselves to know who we are, we can't believe that she would also expect me or want me to be the center of her world. But you are. And so therefore, if she doesn't get that treatment, or that affection, or that encouragement, which we hope to speak about in Mitzvah Hashem, then it's a tremendous pagam. But it begins with the husband knowing and believing in himself how it could be that I am actually at the center of her world. And from this, there's a springboard in Avodas Hashem as well. And one of the things we struggle with as well in Avodas Hashem is that, why should my Avodah be important to Hashem? So there's 8 billion people in the world, and even if there's, let's say, millions of Yidden in the world, I'm one in a million. I'm one in 20 million. But as the Baal Shem Tov tells us, that every single Jew needs to believe that he's mamish a ben yachid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem loves him more than a ben yachid. We find it so difficult to say b'shvili l'nivra olam, that the whole world was created for me, which means to say that I have to believe in myself. I have to believe in my worth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So marriage is a Pesach and avodas Hashem for the Jew to realize that as I work on my worth and on my value, as I am seen through her eyes, it causes me to finally understand just how precious and how worth it I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well to be a creation, a precious creation of Hashem Yisbarach. With that being said, that the husband knows especially just how much he means to her. And she should also know how much she means to him, but it's slightly different, as we'll explain in Mitzvah. As Rav Nachman says about Bishvili Nevar Olam, that because the world was created for me, it's machayiv me. It gives me an achrayas to others. And because the husband has a certain sense of Bishvili Nivra, that she was created for me, Asa La'ezer Kenegdai, that she sees her reality in me, it's machayiv him. Because she's so dependent on him to be able to gift her in a way that mamish breathes life into her. That it's upon him, that because since her chayim is tully, that her chayim is tully in him, for her to be able to feel that sipuk which she needs from him each and every day, to get what she needs from him. And one of the chassadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and this is true in many ways, is that he tries to make everything as easy as possible. As easy as possible. So therefore, if what was necessary for a wife to feel fulfilled from her husband was that he needed to make, you know, a six-digit salary, it would be very difficult for husbands to please their wives. But it's not supposed to be difficult. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when it comes to service of Hashem, he says, "Lo yimeiver layami." I don't expect you to cross the seas. Lo yibashamayim here, to go up to the heavens. So it's simple. Everything which you need to do is in your heart and it's in your mind. And when it comes to relationships, especially between husband and wife, the ingredient, the ikr ingredient is b'fichu v'vav chalasai. That it's a matter of the heart and it's a matter of the mouth. When the Chasen HaKal is standing underneath the chuppah and he's mekayim the inyan of Yirastich li b'emunah, that he expresses his emunah to her forever, and the dedication of the relationship forever is mamash forever, because even after they die they're still linked together. But in the Gemara we need a chiddush akra to teach us that a woman can marry after her husband dies. When they stand underneath the chuppah and he's expressing his dedication to her, the halacha is nasan huv omar hu, that he needs to give her the ring and he needs to say. This is the protocol, and it's much more than protocol. And when Chazal were coming up with the formula to be able to be mekadesh asaisha, Chazal told us the following, that a husband needs to tell his wife, Harei amikudash esli v'tabazu kedas meshav Yisrael. And Chazal say, why the Lashon Kiddushin? The Lashon Kiddushin is a Lashon of that he asks us around the whole world kehegdish. It's a Lashon derabanan. But mikudash esli means much more than just that, a halachic terminology that she's asked around the world kehegdish. Mikudash esli means preciousness. The Kiddushin is the highest expression of dedication, of zehirus, of commitment. That she's sacred to him. Even in the English language, it means that she's sacred to him. And when he says Abayat Mikudeshesli, and she's silent, and she agrees at that moment to accept the Kiddushin and be bonded to him forever. The reason why this is because she has a Hana. And the Hana is that when she hears from her husband the words, Hare'ah Mikudeshesli, which in Pnimius means, do you know how precious you are to me? It's those words which bind them together, that when he says to her, just know how precious you are to me, she's willing to give herself over to him. Because he's expressed his dedication to her and how much he values her in his life. That's what it means, b'ficha v'vavcha. When he gives her the ring, it's the expression of the bilvavcha. That I really mean it, otherwise I wouldn't be giving this to you. It's not just words ba'alma, there's a gemiras das. It's tully in the lev also. So therefore that nasan huma amarhu, when he says this formula, and he means it because he's willing to spend this ring and to give her this ring as a sign of his dedication forever. That's the b'ficha u'v'vavcha, which is the glue which binds the relationship from the beginning to end. And it will always be the expressions of Hare'ah Mikudeshesli, obviously not in those words. Husband doesn't go around the house saying, you know, Hare'ah Mikudeshesli, Hare'ah Mikudeshesli. But it means that he shows her in ways, but more importantly, by way of expression, and sincerely, that if she sincerely feels from him a feeling of Hare'ah Mikudeshesli, then every single day you're coming back to that chasana, and it needs to be done every single day. For example, Chazal tell us that a person has to be very careful. A person has to be very careful how he speaks to his wife. She's very emotional, and her tears are very close. The words, although we have to be careful in Onoas Dvarim all the time, but when it comes to a wife, Onoas Dvarim are so painful. Because the Kiddushin is built upon the opposite of Onoas Dvarim. And she gave herself over to him because he said Hare'ah Mikudeshesli. And every Onoas Dvarim is a pagam in that Hare'ah Mikudeshesli. That when she feels that separation, when she feels that somebody who loves me, who's dedicated so much, can say words like this to harm me, when the whole point is that he should say words to uplift me, to build me up. In fact, the Gemara Chazal, they criticize Yaakov Avinu. That when Rachel comes to Yaakov and she says to him, that if I don't have any children, I'm like a dead one. Yaakov Avinu says to Rachel, am I in place of Hashem? What are you coming to me for? And Chazal said to Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, is this the way you speak? Is this the way you speak to your wife? To a broken woman who's your wife, that she's coming to and she's saying to you? Right? And husbands, mamas struggle with this. Many times husbands think that their wives are complaining to him. When they're sharing things about like how difficult this is, how difficult this is, many times a husband takes it as like a, what are you telling me? Like, what do I have to do with this? This is not my problem. I didn't do this. But really, all she's really doing is that she's expressing herself to him because he's the center of her life. That's why she's coming to him. Because he's everything to her. And that's what she's telling him. And many times the wives don't know the reason why they're telling the husbands. It's because they should know also that he's the center of their world. And so therefore, if she's saying that, give me children or else, right? It's not a complaint against Yaakov per se. It's not a complaint against the husband. So therefore, many times the husband takes it personally, and he'll react and he'll say, "What are you shining at me for?" But this is just more about from Pratius. But it's a matter of perspective, of understanding that it's not an accusation against him; it's her way of expression to the one in her life who she's turning to. So Chazal tell us also, it's very interesting, the lashon of the Torah uses by Matan Torah, which is the root of all chasanas. It says, Koy Saimar Lebeis Yaakov, Vesagi Divnei Yisrael. Chazal say, Koy Saimar Lebeis Yaakov, Amir Raka, to know how to speak to a woman in a soft way, in a sweet way, in a sweet tone. And it's interesting here, it says Lebeis Yaakov, as if it's like a correction to Yaakov Avinu. Koisamar Lebeis Yaakov. That the house of Yaakov has a way of speaking, which is Be'amir Raka, in a soft way. And that's hard, especially for a husband coming into a marriage, because he's used to the Chosage Levnei Yisrael. He's used to talking, you know, a certain shprach that he has with his friends, not the shprach that a woman has. But the shprach of a woman is, Harian Mikudeshesli. How often do you go over to your friends and you're like, listen, buddy, you mean the world to me. Our friendship is just amazing. I don't know where I would be without you. I think you're crazy. But that's something which we wouldn't do with our guy friends. But that's something which a woman wants to hear from her husband. And it's not easy to do sometimes, it's not easy to say sometimes, because it's against our tchunas, but that's part of marriage, it's part of the shviras and midas. It's not easy. It's a chazal we find by Avram and Sarah as well. Chazal tell us when the malachim came to the house of Avram, and they said, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah? Hinei ba'oyal. Chazal tell us, why did they do that? Of course they knew Tzara was in the oil. Could they have chavav al baila? In order to make that Tzara should be chavav in the eyes of Avram. Which means to say that every husband which is in Avram, that he needs to know, he needs to be reminded, he needs to be mechazik himself in the end of the chavav al baila. Not so much the woman. The husband is usually chavav al. The husband is usually chavav in the eyes of her, of his wife. But there needs to be an effort which is made on the husband's part to be able to make his shtalises in this inyan of Kedir Chav Val Baila. How can I find ways to make her chaviv to me? That's why by a chuppah, by a chasana, the Gemara tells us, Ketzim Arakta Lefnei Akala, Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, Kala Nava Chasuda. That when you dance in front of the Kala, it's Kala Nava Chasuda. Why do we say Kala Nava Chasuda? Why do we look at the Kala? Is it Indian to look at the Kala? Why to look at the Kala? Isn't it a breach in Sneas? No. The Indian is, it's Kedir the Chavva Abayla. It's such a mitzvah that others have. Because it's so difficult many times, the Indian of the husband himself, to be working on the Indian of Kedir the Chavva Abayla. But it's such a gewaltig toiva for others to find ways to help that a husband should see his wife in a beautiful way. I'll just add agav. Just a hashgafa, because I don't know if these are going to come up in other venues, and it's because I just to point that, even though it's not part of the flow, but it is part of the flow, that Beis Shammai says that you don't say Kala Nava Chasuda. What do you say? Say Kala Kamois Shehi. Whatever she is. It's not very nice for the Kala. Kala Kamois Shehi. But there's a hashgaf in this also, is that it's a lesson for the husband. You can't change your wife. As you take her, Kala Kamashihi. Many times, Shalom Bayis issues come up because the husband wants to say something to the wife and the wife wants to say something to the husband, that if I say this, then it will change everything. It'll change her. How many times has that failed? And we try to say, do you think we mamash have it? We'll say it. And like, if I can express it this way, now she'll know what my issue is. And now she knows what my issue is, so maybe she'll know how to change now. Even the smallest things. We can't expect spouses to change. That's what it means, Kala Kamashihi. If we change, then maybe our Kalas will change. That's what it means, we spoke about before. Im Zacha Ezer. If we do the work, then we could be Zecha Tzara Shidduch. And that will be Mitzvah, a different discussion. But that's just an agav, important hashkafa, that from the beginning of marriage, one of the things the chassan needs to know, and the kala needs to know also, is that you take your chassan and kala as they are. And you want to marry somebody who will grow with you. That's why you marry them. If you're a growing person, you want them to be able to grow with you. That the relationship will always be mechazik itself. But know that that's not going to be upon you to change. You don't change somebody else. You can be mechazik somebody else, but you can't change somebody else. That's kala for my shahid. But kala na vachasuda means they have a chavva baila, so that he should always be remembering and have imun in himself just how much I am at the center of her world. The Me'iri has a lashon, Mesechet Saita, He writes, now, I don't know if this is the Lashon of the Meiri, or this is quoted, because I saw it brought down in Bayis HaMenucha, from Moshe Aaron Stern, Tzichon Levracha, the Mashkiach from Kamenetz. He says, and I'll quote you the Lashon, again, I don't know if it's his Lashon or the Meiri's Lashon, he says, Yoiser Merutza. That a woman is more happy with a little bit of mizonos, with a little bit of wealth, but that the Baal should pay attention to her, that he should have a yachas with her, that he should give her a lot of money, this is a mistake in many wealthy communities, that they think that they'll just give him, put a lot of money in the bank account, and he'll live his life, and she'll live her life, and she's taken care of. That's a happy wife. Like the Meiri, that's not a happy wife. Because what she wants more than anything is the relationship with her husband. That's worth more to her than everything in the world. It's a very important hashkafa stam, as I, let's say, in davening. Davening is supposed to be about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means to say that a person can wear 5 gartlach, and he can wear 2 pairs of tefillin at the same time, right? And you can have the most mahudah dikatalis, and you can daven from a siddur arizal, right? At the kaisel. And you're getting so caught up in all the inyanim. But am I talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or am I not talking to the Moshe? Is there a relationship here, or is there no relationship here? You come with all the goods, all the wealth. Not just how much money you spent on those things, but the ruchnius wealth. Each one is a treasure. Tefillin is gematria oisher. It's gewaldic ashirus. At the end of the day, if there's no relationship in the tefillah, then it's not tefillah. The same thing is true in a relationship with our spouses, that in the relationship itself is what's chav. You can marry the most beautiful house and the most beautiful dress, take her to the finest restaurants. But if you're sitting at the fine restaurant and there's no conversation and there's no meaningful emuna, dvikas, which is taking place, then it's like a goof without a neshama. And it's more painful. Especially to the wife. The Stipler said that if the wife thinks that her husband doesn't love her, he says it's kimat pikuach nefesh avura. It's kimat pikuach nefesh. And that she's in such a ke'ev gadol that it's ki'ilu she's an almana. We're coming close to the 3 weeks. One of the things we're going to say in Eicha is we're going to say that with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Eicha Yashav Badad, Ha'isa Kalmana, that Chorban Beis HaMikdash represents on every level Chorban Beis HaMikdash, even each and every one of, each and every home of the Jewish people, there's an idea called Ha'isa Kalmana. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his back in Klal Yisrael, even though he didn't divorce her. Ha'isa Hashem says, hey, I never gave you a get. Ayir Sefer Krisi, I never gave you a get. Because Baruch Hu turned his back on Klal Yisrael. And if we don't think that the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that's called Ha'isa Kamana. One of the biggest chizuks which we need to get from the 3 weeks is to be mechazik ourselves and to know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. And that's why immediately after the 3 weeks comes Elo, which is Ani Dodoidi Dodoidi Li, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim. Even though the luchos break on Shivasa B'tamas, we have a new luchos on Yom Kippur, and it's as if it was never broken, and it's mamash a gevaldik a chasen, and we have a sukkah, so it's mamash a chasen, it's gevaldik. But there's a state which is called Haisa Kamana, that what the wife thinks, especially the wife thinks that her husband doesn't love her, that's called Haisa Kamana. That he could be dead even while he's alive. It could be so painful. That's step by step. Mamash kimat pikuach nefesh avur. I saw a story today actually from the Stipler. This is nogea to this, that once somebody came to the Stipler and he said to him, Mamash, he's a ben toyer. He's having such shalom bias issues. He says, Mamash gone to the point I can't handle anymore. So the Stipler says, okay, so tell me, what's going on? So he says, I'll tell you what happens. He says, I'm part of a koilo. We have big hours. He says, I go daven in the morning. I go to learn. I stay home. I try to stay the whole day, and I'm learning and I'm learning. He says, then I come home and I say hi to my wife, and we sit down at the dinner table, and I pull out a sefer, you know, and we're schmoozing, and I'm looking in the sefer, I'm trying to keep up my asmada. And then after dinner, I say bye. It was mama, so nice to be home. And then he goes back, and he goes to daven ma'ariv, and he comes back, and he learns. And the times he comes home, the wife is sleeping. See, I'm stuck with it. He said, he turned to somebody in the house and says, pass me a stick. He said, pass me a stick. He says, this younger man, he deserves malchus. He deserves to be beaten for the way he treats his wife. He says, you don't come home the whole time, and then when you finally come home, you're sitting there in front of a sefer, you're such a masmid. He says, you're torturing her. Of course she has problems with you. It's gotten to a point she can't take it anymore. Yeah, where's the stick? Where's the stick? She needs to feel the importance. This Bidar Chemez, when he gives her that ring, which is a symbol of eternity, of course. And I mean, Kodesh is to forever. And he gives her Api Halacha Shava Pruta. Now, Shava Pruta is not worth very much. But the reason why it's called Shava Pruta is Pruta is Lashon Pratius. That you're a Prat. That you're singularly important to me. And that's exactly what the chuppah is all about. That when all those people are standing in the room, and she's walking around him, and she's demonstrating to him that you're the center of my world, he takes that ring and he gives it to her and says, you're the center of my world. That you're a Prat to me. That you're special to me. You're unique to me. That's what it means to be Mekudesh. Because it's not about how much it costs. How much is a silver ring already? $60, $70, $100, $120? Whatever it is. Chazal didn't make it that a person has to spend. He has to just give her. If he had to give her under the chuppah, what he gives her the cheder yichud, that would be hard. That's not what you need to be Mekudesh. Because when you're giving her the ring, you say, Hariya Mekudeshesli, like the Meiri says, it's not about how much you give her. It's about what you say and how you feel when you give her. The beficha of levavcha. Not how much. If you feel like, if a wife feels like he's getting his wife jewelry and it's $1,000, but his heart is not into it, then she would rather give it back. If she knows that he's doing what he can, it's $100, but he really wants to do it because he appreciates her. And that's a gift. That's called Beficha Vav Chalasas. You have a very interesting thing, which is brought down on the Arizal, which is very much connected to this idea. The Seder HaTfilah, from beginning to end, Api Pnimius, begins by Chatzos Laila. The Arizal tells us that at Chatzos Laila, without getting too in detail, that there's what's called, there's a partzuf in Shemayim, which is called the partzuf of Rachel. And at midnight, every single night, this partzuf called Rachel, she leaves the world which is called the highest world, called Atzilus, and she goes into the lower worlds, which are called Briya, Yitzi, and Asiya. She goes down the B'Mesiras Nefesh, because there's sparks of Kedusha and Neshamas which are there. And like a secret, like a seal, like a spy, she goes down into the lower world in order to go down to bring up neshamas. Just like Rachel Aminu was buried ala derech, she's not buried with Yaakov and Maris Machpela. She's buried ala derech, which is a demonstration of the mysterious nefesh that Rachel has, that she goes down into the lower worlds in order to bring up neshamas which have fallen there. That's called the Tikkun Chatzos that we cry along with Rachel. But since Rachel is going down into the lower worlds, we cry along with her. And she has to go down. It's not the chetchila that she should have to go there, but she goes down there. Already by the morning time, from morning break, and from the mitzvahs which we begin to do, we start to be what's called being ma'al Rachel. We start to bring Rachel back up. For example, when we put tefillin on, opposite on the arm, what you do when you put on tefillin is that you're being ma'al Rachel, that the keser of Rachel is now connected the lave of the Adam. And little by little, slowly but surely, you mala this Rachel, you bring up this Rachel from the lower world up to the higher world. And the point is this, you have to bring it from Asiya, which is the beginning of davening. You have to bring it up to Yetzirah, which is Pesukei Dezimra. Then you have to go into your Chasilutzer and Kriyashma. You have to bring it up to Bria. And then finally, by Shemona Esrei, Hashem Sosa Tiftoch, Yagitil Asecha. And throughout the course of Shemona Esrei, you bring up Bracha B'Shleimus. And this happens every single day. It's very interesting. How do you bring up Bracha? The main part that you bring Bracha into Atzilus, which is the place of unity of, between the two of them, is when you do, according to Arizal, when you bow down. Each time you bow down, you bring up Bracha B'Shleimus into Atzilus. It's also very interesting. And this is just Stama question in Tzilah. Why is it that every time I come up to Davin, I have to say things like, Hakel HaGadol HaGivor Ana Hakel HaYon. Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu need my praises? That the Gemara says, right, you can't even begin to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When are you going to end? You have to say this formula, but why do we have to say this all together? Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to hear from me that I think he's great? Much, much greater than he is great is what I can express. The Teretz says, no, that Shemona Esrei is about the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is the feminine part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're only looking at Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah feels like it's nothing. And by the way, this is very true about a tzaddik also. I heard this from my Rebbe. Not along these lines, but this machshava. That much more than you should be afraid of making a tzaddik into a balgaiva, you should be afraid of being poigim in the tzaddik's self-worth. That a tzaddik feels like he's nobody. But in a healthy way, in a kedusha took away. There's a certain secret that tzaddik can have. They mamish feel like they're mamish nothing. So many times if a Talmud or somebody comes and gives a tzaddik a compliment, it doesn't make him into a balgaiva. Mamish gives him chiyas. For regular people, if you tell them shvachem, then they become balgaivas from it. Oh, he thinks I'm such a tzaddik, he thinks I'm such a this, and such a that. But for a genuine tzaddik, right, if you were to say to a tzaddik, you're a nobody, right, he'd say, yeah, tzaka right, mamish nobody. Wouldn't hurt him, because he knows he's a nobody. But if you go over to the tzaddik and you say, mamish, it's a great shir, it's good, gives him chiyas, mamish gives him chiyas, because he doesn't think he's doing anything, doesn't think he's anything. Thinks he's the lowest of the low. That's the qualities of the Shekhinah, and that's very much the qualities of an Isha. What Chazal say in Kabbalah, that an Isha, the Malchus, she has nothing of her own. That's because when she attaches herself to her husband, she finally has something of her own. That she sees her whole identity through him. So Chazal said that he has to love her like himself, be mechabed her more than him, than himself. Because she comes from a place of less lemiga meklam. So therefore, when we stand in Shemona Esrei and we say to the Shechina Kedosha, yes, you're Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, I know you know how great you are. Shechina Kedosha says, you're giving me life. You're giving me life. And that's exactly how the Isha is. Isha is the Shechina. That she feels and she needs that encouragement. She needs that her husband should say to her, Hariya Mekudeshesli, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, I know Hakel, Olyam. And that's when you bring her up. And you prepare her. It's very interesting. The Gemara's lashon is, Gemara says, "Itisa gutza." If your wife is short, gachin v'sil chashla, bend down and whisper in her ear. This is exactly what Shemona Esrei is, by the way. Exactly what it is, which means that if she's low, if she's in a low place, bend down, which is the kriyas which you do in Shemona Esrei, v'sil chashla, whisper. Shemona Esrei is exactly that. By the kriyas, when you bow down, and when you whisper in her ear, that's exactly what it is. It has to be a whisper. If the whisper doesn't encourage her, not everybody should hear. Nobody should have to hear how much you think that your spouse is so amazing. That's between you and the spouse. And even though Reya Mekudesh is there, I know they like to do it like on the loudspeakers, you know, put it by the chassan's mouth so that everybody can hear consciously. Never saw that by tzaddikim, that, you know, here. Okay, so the person making the brachas is that, but since when do we put, you know, the Reya Mekudesh by his mouth? Everybody should hear. Everybody should clap. I understand why, but in Pimius, that expression of affection is supposed to be very, very private. It doesn't mean to say that he can't compliment his wife at the table when he says, this is delicious, something like that. But how meaningful she is to him in terms of as a husband and a wife. Anybody can give a compliment of that was delicious. But if he says it to her, it's worth much, much more than if the guest says it. But those expressions have to be gachim asil chashla. It's not easy. So lower yourself to say it. That's Shviras Amidos. Not so easy to say that. Many times you won't even feel it. But you say it anyways. You can even be mechavim, you're saying it to the Shechina, you're not saying it to her. Maybe you don't feel as if she's so amazing at that time. That's called Gachin Vesel Chashla. It's Bechinav Shmona Esrei. Mamash all about that. And just like in Shmona Esrei, you have this kavana every single day. That means to say that the Hariyah Mekudeshes has to be every single day. It has to be the Chuppah's every day. So it's like the Shmona Esrei is every single day. Rachel goes down every day, and you have to bring her up every day. And that's Mamash a dugma for relationships. It's very interesting that if you take a look at Yaakov, in terms of Rachel, Rivka, Sarah, Leah, they were all in the house of Beis Lavan. That Eliezer had to go down to the house of Lavan to pull out Rivka. And then Yaakov had to go down, deep down, to the house of Lavan to take out Rachel and Leah. That's exactly what Shmona Esrei is, though. That's exactly what the Avodah is that we have to go down sometimes. Gachin, we have to go down and to bring up. Because there's a certain sense that the woman needs to hear Hariyah Mekudeshes. That was the beginning of marriage, and every single day that's the avodah of marriage, that you should feel that aspect of Hariyah Mekudeshes. Just conclude with one final hashkafa on this inyan, just because I don't know if it's going to come up again. It's really more of a pratius. It's a pratius tika eitza, but it's just like a hashlama. Because we're discussing Hariyah Mekudeshes. The conclusion of that line is Hariyah Mekudeshes with the basu kedas moshe v'yisrael. There's an aspect which is called Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. And one of the nekudas of Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael is along the lines of what we say, the Gemara says, called the Makaitish, Adat the Rabbanu Makaitish. When a Jew marries his wife, he does it Al Das the Rabbanu. That whenever you do Kiddushin, it's Adat the Rabbanu Makaitish. What that means also, to be Makaitish, Adat the Rabbanu, means that a person in his relationship with his spouse, that they should have a rav that they seek eitza from. That's called Adai Tidur Banu Kam Kaddish. That they both agree that they have one central das Torah that they go to for their Nyanam Shalomayas. Because if he feels like this one's the das Torah, and she feels like this is the das Torah, and they have something which needs to be discussed, and how are they going to have shalom with each other? One of the things that's incumbent upon a chassan and kala to do from the beginning is to designate somebody which they both agree that this is going to be what's called the Makaddish Adai Tidur Banu Kam Kaddish. That designate somebody who's going to be, that they turn to, that they feel like, that they align themselves with that hashkafa, that they feel that person is a das player, that he feels that they have the right insight into relationships, which is what they're looking for, where they're holding. That's also part of the Hayat Mekudesh, Asli with the Basu, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. That the relationship is dependent, not just on themselves being able to work things out, but to know that if going gets tough, if they have issues which need to be discussed, just in life, they should have somebody who they turn to from the beginning. Already when it gets hard, it's already late. But in the beginning, that they should understand this, the foresight to see, right, that if there's ever a chilul in that kedusha chas v'shalom, there's ever a feeling of distance in the relationship, that they should have a das Torah which they go to, that's called the makadosh, the da'at v'banu kam makadosh. But chas v'shalom should ever need to get there. But the point is that what prevents us from getting there is the beginning of that line. That if the husband especially, and it's true also for the wife to the husband too, to express her gratitude to him, but especially upon the husband to know that the relationship, that the emunah, that he should have the emunah not just in the relationships with each other, but that emunah in himself, that he believes that he understands what it means to be at the center of that world, and the achrayis which comes with that, the expressions of Hariyah Mekudeshes, that b'fichal v'vavcha la'asayto. This is the glue, this is the emunah, which is the dveikus, which keeps the relationship every single day. That it should go from one day, get stronger to the next, get stronger to the next. Kach Baruch Hu Shalav, Shri Yizeche, to have homes which are mamash and mitzvah shema'at. Yizeche to the levels of emunah, of commitment, of uplifting each other. With that, we should be Yizeche to see not just the binyan of every single mikdash ma'at in Klai Yisrael, but as we approach the 3 weeks, the Yizeche to see the binyan by Shlishi, the Yizkoyel Tzedek, and we have a main woman.